Discover, discuss, deliver. We are DPSD Vocals, a podcast aimed at broadening horizons and including lateral perspectives. We shed light on a diverse array of topics to enlighten and inspire you. From science and technology to arts and culture, our vision revolves around exploring these stories, ideas, and breakthroughs shaping our world.
In this episode, we share perspectives on the different aspects of living in the US and opting for a career in the humanities stream. Before we dive into our discussion, could you please introduce yourself briefly to our listeners today?
I'm Asha Jani. I graduated from DPS Dubai in 2019. I'm currently a master's student at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles, where I'm pursuing a Master of Sciences in Digital Social Media, which is advertising, communication, those related fields. I completed my undergraduate studies from the same university, where I did a double major in communication and gender and sexuality studies.
There is often a misconception among Indian families about the humanities stream. What inspired you to pursue the humanities stream? And what were some of the key factors that drew you to that field of study?
I feel like I've always known that I would pursue something in the creative fields. And it was something that I talked about since like a very young age. I talked about creative writing. I talked about journalism, filmmaking, stuff like that. And I was honestly like quite encouraged to pursue those things during my time at DPS. I did all of the annual days. I wrote the plays. I acted with my friends and all of that. And I think that being in humanities was something that very much came naturally to me. It was something I was really passionate about because I wanted to learn about the world that we live in ways that I would like to understand, I guess. All of my favorite classes were always social studies. And I had a deep interest in psychology. It was something my mom studied as well, so I grew up around it. And I think that I just really wanted to be a part of the canon of humanities, I guess. I was obviously, you know, like you mentioned in your question, afraid of kind of quote-unquote doing the wrong thing because of the misconception around humanities. It almost feels like there is a stereotype that if you do humanities, you're throwing your life away or losing opportunities. But to me, I think the final push that got me to end up picking humanities when I entered 11th grade was that, one, I was doing something on my own terms, and not just because I had to, or that something felt like the right decision, and two, that I knew I personally would not enjoy the last 2 years of my education if I was doing something that I wasn't passionate about. Even though I was academically very capable of doing science, commerce, and whatever else, I just wanted to make sure that my education was always something I believed in. And even though CBSE is always going to be hard, I think the last 2 years of my time in CBSE and at DPS were honestly the best time I had academically because I was surrounded by this little small community of people that actually cared about what we were studying and were honestly just having so much fun learning about the world, and it was significantly less stressful, even though it was a lot of hard work, and I don't regret it one bit. And I think that like it has extremely set up my life to be something that I get to choose the decisions that I make based on what I am passionate about.
Transitioning from Dubai to the US must have brought about significant changes in the weather conditions. How did you adapt to the differences? And were there any particular challenges you faced? Could you elaborate on the challenges and opportunities in establishing your identity?
This is actually such a good question because the transition from Dubai to the US was something that I was honestly not really prepared for, and it wasn't something I spent a lot of time thinking about, even though I feel like I thought about everything beforehand. I was just so excited to go. And I think that that's honestly a good perspective to have, because it allows you to kind of be yourself and not go in with any unnecessary misconceptions and fear and anxiety. But at the same time, I completely understand, you know, the fear that comes along with moving away to a different part of the world where you don't necessarily feel like you know the culture. But honestly, with social media, the media we consume, and the fact that we grew up in like a city like Dubai, I never felt that I was missing any of the cultural references that, you know, my friends in the US grew up with. And also because my university particularly was such a global community, I was able to find people from Dubai, from India, but also like my best friend is Persian, but moved to America. Like there's a lot of different experiences and a lot of shared connections are built around things like TV shows, movies, musicians, TikToks, memes, stuff like that, which I feel like is something that kind of like unites us all. And at the same time, the thing about college is that everybody chooses to be there and everybody is like in their major working so hard for the things that, you know, they care about. So that academic community is also something that I really cherished during my time there, especially in the little department of gender studies that I was in. I definitely faced some challenges in kind of getting used to, I don't know, like the food at the dining hall or the fact that I had to grocery shop for myself, learned how to budget. And obviously there were, you know, in groups of people, which I think exist everywhere, where people kind of knew each other before they went into university. But at the same time, I think that being in, you know, a new space as a freshman, as a young person, it's best to not go in with as much anxiety as you think you should have and kind of just have an open mind for the people around you. Talk to as many people as you can. And I think the biggest thing I learned is that it's okay to be alone sometimes. And you don't have to always, you know, be surrounded by groups of people or be surrounded by groups of things. And it's always going to be quality over quantity, regardless of what you're doing.
Managing personal expenses as a student can be challenging, but how do you suggest that students should handle their finances, and is taking a part-time job feasible along their academics?
This is actually one of your most relevant and most important questions, because managing my personal expenses was something I was not prepared for going into college. I knew that, you know, budgeting was a thing, and I knew that I was supposed to take care of my expenses, but at the same time, I feel like I've never had to really think about my own expenses growing up. So I had to really transition myself into learning how to budget, which honestly is something that I'm still always working on. I think that as long as you have a clear communication between yourself, how much you want to spend on things, and especially as a freshman, you shouldn't necessarily have many expenditures unless, you know, you're cooking for yourself and going out. But I do think that it's important to take time to set aside money for the things that are going to make your college experience more fun. Everybody lives frugally at college, like most people, even though USC is like known for being a very quote-unquote rich school. Most of my friends live, you know, just as college students would. We take all of the discounts we can get. And I think that in doing that, it's important to have like a budget or like even, you know, a mental note of how much you want to spend on certain things and then finalize that into an actual budget, whether you want to talk to your parents about that, whether you want to do that independently. More likely than not, your first year, your rent and your food will be paid for in terms of, you know, campus housing and a dining hall. So all you have to manage is living expenses, stuff like textbooks, which you should never buy if you can find them online, and things like that. And it's really like good to talk to other people about things you can get for free as a student. Like I'm on Spotify for student plan, like a student plan for Spotify. In the US, DoorDash, which is kind of like, you know, Zomato, Deliveroo or Talabat or whatever, like a delivery app, has a student plan. We get discounts on things like movie tickets as students in LA. we get discounts on a bunch of things. And I think that, you know, really learning how to tap into that is also a great part of saving money. And a part-time job is definitely feasible, but I don't think that it's a necessity in your first year, but it's definitely something to explore. In the US, work-study students get priority because they have federal funding that they have to kind of pay back through doing an on-campus job. But I had a job for about 3 years during my undergraduate degree, and currently I have an internship, all of which has been paid throughout that time. Even though they've been close to minimum wage, it's been nice to have money to spend on things that, you know, I want to do for fun. And especially now, because I live off campus and have a car, it's nice to have money to, you know, get gas for my car, like petrol. And I like to pay for concert tickets. And sometimes I like to go on trips with my friends. And that's kind of like what I do with, you know, the money that I am able to earn. But I also have friends that are able to support themselves with the money that they earn. And I think it just depends on what is feasible for you, depending on your class load, depending on what you're studying, and depending on what you want to work in. My positions on campus were in the admission center and also as a research assistant in this think tank in the communication school. So I think both of them were things I found really fun and engaging, and I didn't necessarily feel like I was doing them just for the money. And I think that if you have the opportunity to do that, you should definitely take advantage of it.
Graduating early is an ambition for many students. What strategies can one employ to achieve this? And in your experience, how beneficial is it?
Graduation timelines are something that are extremely personal. And I think that that is something I learned a lot with my experience during COVID and also in entering USC later as a spring admit. So like I briefly mentioned, I entered USC in January 2020, and I actually did my first semester before that abroad at a partner institution, which is the American University of Paris, which is a whole other experience about studying abroad, and we can get into that if you want to. But my graduation timeline was immensely impacted by these things. I did initially go into USC wanting to graduate, you know, in the normal 4-year time. And that's why I did my first semester abroad. But when COVID happened, I decided that I had to come home because it was the best option for me then. And with a 12-hour time difference, it became quite difficult for me to keep up with my academics. And also I felt like I was missing out on the experience that I would have wanted at USC. And so I actually decided to take a leave of absence or a gap semester for one semester during my time at USC during COVID. And so that pushed my graduation by one semester. And I actually graduated in the same 8 semesters, but a semester late. And I think that, you know, it kind of depends on what you want to achieve and what you want to do with your time at college. Some people do graduate early, and I think that it's, like you said, an ambition for many students, and it's absolutely doable, but it depends on how many classes you want to take, what activities you want to engage in. I was able to graduate in 8 semesters, doing 2 majors and starting my master's degree one semester in the last semester of my undergraduate, and I was still part of many programs on campus. I did a student-run ad agency called the Trojan Marketing Group. I was the president of debate club for a while. I was involved in community outreach programs, and I had a strong community of friends. I did internships, things like that. And I think for that personal goal of mine, in order to expand my college experience, that number of traditional semesters was enough for me. However, if graduating early is the goal, you might have to compromise on some of these other things, right? Like, it kind of just depends on what you want to get out of your college experience. And I think that that's something that I really respected in kind of like being able to make my own class schedule, see what was available for me. I did a lot of fun classes that had nothing to do with my major. I did things like astronomy. I did a geology class. I even took stand-up comedy. I took a Bollywood dancing class. Things like that I don't think I would have had the opportunity to do if I was just super focused in on my academics. But again, like financially speaking and personal academic goals wise, like it's best to kind of like sit down with yourself, your advisor, your family, and decide what the best path forward is for you. For me, I knew I was not going to be ready to go out into the world yet, and I knew I wanted to pursue a master's. And so this timeline is what has worked for me. And I think that how beneficial it is going to depend on what you want to get out of it.
The Dean's List is often seen as a prestigious achievement. So could you like elaborate on its significance and what it means for a student academically?
Absolutely. The Dean's List is one of the most common academic achievements that is awarded to students in U.S. universities. I was really lucky to have been on the Dean's List, I think, for every semester that I was at USC, except that they took it away during COVID in order to not, you know, pressurize students academically. At USC, the criteria for a Dean's List is that you take 12 units of credit, and I think you have to get somewhere around a 3.5 or a 3.6 GPA, but I'm not exactly sure. So edit in and, you know, do the research here and fix that fact if it's not true. But it was definitely, you know, a prestigious achievement. However, I feel like with the academic rigor that you and I and we've grown up with in places like DPS and CBSE, it's honestly not, I think, you know, the hardest achievement. But at the same time, I think that transitioning academically is also so difficult. So it's also okay if your grades fall, if you get bad grades in some classes, you know, and I think that that's something I really, really had to learn, because I was always a, you know, very academically focused student. I was a very high achiever because I put a lot of pressure on myself to get good grades. And I think that when I went to college, there were classes that were really hard sometimes, and I couldn't necessarily get the grades I wanted. So the Dean's List is kind of like, if it comes, it comes, right? Like your grades even out, your relationships with your professors matter. You can always do things like extra credit opportunities. You can pass fail a class instead of getting a letter grade. You can average out, you know, your grades across classes, take an easier class, like say stand-up comedy or Bollywood dance. And I think that, you know, that's kind of like what it can do. I think that college is one of the first places we will learn that grades don't necessarily define what you are doing, where you will go, and what your passions are in life. And in terms of achievements academically, there is so much more that you can do than just getting an achievement for your grades. At USC, there's community service awards. There's like leadership awards for people in things like student government and student council. For me, I think my biggest achievement was being able to be president of debate club, which is one of the first things I joined at USC. There are departmentally specific honors. Like I actually got an honor in the gender studies department that I personally think is one of my biggest achievements to this day, just because I valued the work I was doing there so much, and being able to be recognized by that meant a lot to me academically, because I do want to pursue academia and eventually, you know, do more things in that field. So it kind of depends whether you get achievements within your academic school, whether you get them outside, whether you apply for awards, whether you apply for competitions, stuff like that. It's honestly like the whole world is your oyster, and the world doesn't begin or end at academic achievements like the Dean's List. Even though they look really good on your LinkedIn and your resume, the world is what you make it.
Thank you, Ms. Asta, for joining us and sharing your insightful experience and knowledge with us.
Thank you for having me. Good luck.
We hope this episode helped, and tune in next time for a new guest, a new vision, and a new story.